The title of our sermon for today is Lord, Is It Mine? And it's based on our epistle reading for today, 1 Corinthians 15. I know that there's a reason why I need to be alone. I know that there's a silent place that I can call my own. Is it mine? Oh Lord, is it mine? You know I get so weary from the battles in this life. And as many times it seems that you're the only hope in sight. Is it mine? Oh Lord, is it mine? When everything's dark and nothing seems right, you don't have to win, and there's no need to fight. I never cease to wonder at the cruelty of this land, but it seems a time of sadness is a time to understand. Is it mine? Oh Lord, is it mine? If only I could find a way to feel your sweetness through the day. The love that shines around me could be mine. So give us an answer, won't you? We know what we have to do. There must be 1,000 voices trying to get through. Is it mine? Oh Lord, is it mine? These words and the question, Lord, is it mine, were written by artist and composer Roger Hodgson 40 years ago, back in 1979. As I thought about this question, Lord, is it mine? I quickly realized that this sort of question is one that transcends time. Our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, written about the 6th century BC, helps us to answer it. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, from verse 7. The psalm appointed for today, Psalm 1, written between the 11th and 6th centuries BC, helps us to answer it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates night and day. Verses 1 and 2. The gospel for today from Luke chapter 6, written about 60 AD, helps us to answer it. And he came down with them and stood on a level place and with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Verses 17 through 19. In this great chapter from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, written about 55 AD, helps us to answer it. But the real question for today is, what is it? And how would you answer it? Lord, is it mine? To help us answer the questions, we're going to take a closer look at our epistle reading for today, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is a very interesting letter. Paul had established a church in Corinth around 50 AD. Corinth was a busy trade city and had a reputation for sexual immorality, religious diversity, and corruption. At the time of the writing of 1 Corinthians 5 years later, the church had started to flounder under all the influences of the different peoples and cultures around them. In this letter, Paul addresses everything from a man sleeping with his father's wife, to marriage, to spiritual gifts, to the numerous lawsuits among the people, to the Lord's Supper. But maybe most importantly, he addresses those who believed and taught wrongly about the resurrection of the dead. And it is in this chapter on the resurrection of the dead where we find the answer to our questions.
In verse 12, we read that some say there is
no resurrection of the dead. We might understand how they came to this conclusion. After all, no resurrection from the dead has ever happened within our personal experience. And with no personal proof, we tend to dismiss this as nonsense. Therefore, we, like them, reason that this just cannot be. Yet the historical facts are that the apostles bore witness that Christ had risen. Jesus had appeared to the 12 disciples, had eaten with them, had even asked one to put his finger in the mark of the nails, and invited him also to put out his hand and place it in his side. Jesus also appears to as many as 500 people at one time. And Paul himself, who was the overzealous persecutor of the way, now preaches Christ crucified. Are all these men false witnesses? If they were, they were the most extraordinary false witnesses who ever lived, for they suffered harsh persecution because of their teaching. Almost all of the disciples were put to horrible deaths, except John, who was exiled on the island of Patmos. As contemporaries with the apostles and the other witnesses, it would seem that the people of Corinth had plenty of proof if they just wanted to believe it. And for us, we have that same proof.
We have those same historical accounts
written down for us. And yet some of the false teachings go on today. Ignoring or discrediting the resurrection altogether is still happening. And even in the Christian church at times, we concentrate on Christ dying on the cross for our sins to the exclusion of the resurrection, or only including it as an afterthought. Christ's death on the cross is important, but just as important is Christ's resurrection. If there is no resurrection from the dead like the teachers in Corinth and the false teachers of today proclaim, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are still in our sin. Take a look at verses 16 through 19. Pull out your bulletin, please. Verses 16 through 19 in 1 Corinthians. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. A respected preacher from the 1800s once wrote, "Beloved, I speak to you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are resting in him with great comfort and peace of mind, yea, who have experienced a great change of heart and a great change in your lives through faith in Christ." Now, if he did not raise from the dead, you are believing a lie. Take this home to yourselves. If he did not literally die from the dead or rise from the dead on the third day, this faith of yours that gives you comfort, this faith which has renewed you in heart and life, this faith which you believe is leading you home to heaven, must be abandoned as a sheer delusion. Your faith is fixed on a falsehood. Oh, dreadful inference. But the inference is clearly true if Christ is not risen. You are risking your soul on a falsehood if Christ did not rise from the dead. He goes on to write, "If Jesus Christ did not die for me and did not rise again for me, I am lost. I have not a ray of comfort from any other direction. I have no dependence on anything else but Jesus crucified and risen. And if that sheet anchor fails, everything fails with it. In my case, and so it must be in yours." These are earnest words of dire consequences that are so true today in 2019. Lord, is it mine? Is the love that you proclaim for humanity mine also? Did Christ die on the cross for me? Did he spend 3 days in a cold, dark tomb for me? Was he resurrected from the dead by the Father for me? Lord, is it mine? But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, from verse 20. The witnesses are clear. Christ has been raised from the dead. We can believe the witness statements. We have multiple manuscripts. We have reliable testimony. and if not the apostles, believe the incarnate word, the testimony of Christ himself. I am the resurrection and the life. From John 11:25. And if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 a little farther, we find, for as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, for each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The resurrection of Jesus Christ by the Father is his signal to us that Christ's sacrifice for our sin, for the sin of the world, has been accepted. It is God's promise to us. There is nothing left to do. It is finished, Christ's words from the cross. Through faith, we receive this gift to us. It is mine. It is yours. And because we have been justified through this gift of faith, we have peace with God. We can take comfort and have assurance and rejoice in the hope of the glory and grace of God. Lord, is it mine? Yes, my child, it is yours, through the waters of baptism, through the healing of the word, through the forgiveness of sins, and through the right reception of the Lord's Supper. All of these things are given you by God to help you answer this question. There can be no mistake. It is yours. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, February 18th, is the commemoration celebration of Martin Luther. Luther went to be with the Lord on February 18, 1546, 473 years ago. I think Luther struggled with the same question. Lord, is it mine? It took Luther a long time and a lot of struggle to accept that the Lord's love and salvation is a gift, that he could not earn it. There is a story that one day Luther was exceptionally down and depressed. As he moped around the house, muttering underneath his breath, his wife Catherine, dressed in funeral clothes, all in black, announced in a solemn voice, "God is dead." Luther looked at his wife with puzzlement and replied, "God is not dead." Catherine went on to say, "It sure seems like God is dead by the way you are acting." Luther thanked his wife and etched a Latin word on his desk, vivit. Vivit means he lives. Whenever things weren't going well, Luther was tempted to complain about them. He looked at that one simple word and was invigorated. Because Jesus rose from the dead and is alive, Luther had every reason to celebrate. We too have every reason to celebrate. This text from 1 Corinthians states what we believe, teach, and confess in our creeds. Christ is risen. He is risen with his body. With his real body, he lives and reigns to all eternity and will come at the end of the age to take us to be his own. On that last and final day, our bodies will also be raised to live with him forever. It is yours as a gift and by the grace of God. There is no need to doubt, no need to ask the question, Lord, is it mine? The love of God, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting is yours through Christ Jesus our Lord. A timeless answer to a timeless question. Amen.